Here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Good afternoon. Welcome in, City of Houston. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. No Fred, no AJ. We got a short Blitz show today, so they decided to make a full day of it and take that full day off. My name is Mike Liebeschock. Thank you so much for joining us. If you've been around here for a while, you probably catch me Sunday mornings with Barry Laminek, who just left out of here every Sunday from 9 to noon. I am joined today by your reigning Rock the Mic champion from 2016, Craig Koshkin. How's your day?
Pretty good, I got
to
say. I'm in
up
here.
Up to this point?
It's been excellent up to this point.
Good. I'm fighting a bit of a cold, so if the voice isn't as rich and phenomenal as it usually is, my apologies. But yeah, it's kind of cool. You get a rep, at least a half a rep.
Yeah. Anything in the studio with a mic in front of your face is good experience. And I'll take especially the drive time show of Gal Media on here on 97.5.
See, you're thinking about things the right way. I always say when Rock the Mic comes around every August, hey, you're halfway through your reign, maybe a little bit half past.
A little past?
Yeah. I always make a point of saying that. I'm like, this is a great opportunity to be on an FM affiliate of the worldwide leader in the fourth biggest, not radio market, but fourth biggest city in the United States. Why wouldn't you make the most of the opportunity? And every time we've rang the bell for you on Sunday morning, you've been there. So good job by you.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to make my own schedule as far as my day job goes. So I get to answer the bell every time it's rung for me.
Well, it helps when my day job is right across the hall and I spend the morning knocking doors and meeting with prospects, and I get to come in here just before close of the day and talk a little sports. And again, we are with you only until 5:30, immediately following this imposter episode of The Blitz. It is Texas A&M basketball as the Mighty Aggies continue their march toward the NIT. If you go to, I believe it's bracketmatrix.com, they have them projected as a 6 seed. Pretty strong.
They don't even get a home game in the NIT. I don't.
No,
I can't say anything. The team I prefer to do well in college basketball won't even make the CBI, which is the third tier of postseason tournaments. So there's nothing I can really say. But I mean, long gone are the days where teams actually passed up the NCAA tournament to go to the NIT. That used to be a thing. If you remember far enough back into college basketball lore.
Okay.
Like in the 50s.
Yeah, it's a little before. Yours definitely before my time. But I don't even think the CBI is actually played. I think it's a dice game. I think it's played virtually like Pursue the Pennant was back in the early 90s. They don't actually play the basketball games. It's like Yahtzee, and you get points for whatever, and that's the way it's played.
Aren't they testing a bunch of stuff out in these lower-tier tournaments? I read somewhere they're doing like quarters in one of these tournaments. They're switching over to quarters.
What I heard was that I don't know if they're going to be playing quarters in terms of the clock, but what they are going to do is manage fouls in terms of a quarter. So, you get a set number of fouls within the first 10 minutes of the game. If you reach five, whatever, they skip the one-on-one. You go automatically to shooting two.
So they're going the NBA treatment as far as fouls in a quarter.
In a quarter, quarter. Yeah, I mean, why not just go to four 10-minute quarters? I mean, could you imagine being on the fast break and then the clock strikes 10 minutes in either half, and all of a sudden what was a charge and a two-shot foul 8 seconds ago is now your first foul?
I hate to be that guy. A charge would never be a two-shot foul. Player control. Don't go to the line on it.
Well, but in this scenario, it would be any foul.
Are they doing any foul? Because player control fouls are typically not. That is way too technical. I don't want to be that guy, but I just was.
Yeah, I mean, if the rules actually change during play.
Yeah, as you cross half court, essentially, things change. And that'd be terrible. But they've experimented. They've now gone to the quarter system in women's college basketball. Sure. They don't play halves anymore. I don't know why they wouldn't go to the quarter system anyway. That's more TV timeouts and more revenue.
Right.
It's silly that they don't. Now, instead, it's confusing to someone who is not greatly initiated with college basketball TV rules, the under 16, the under 12, the under 8, and the under 4 timeout.
Sure.
Instead, just play the quarter system, and it's much easier to do.
Hopefully, they maybe experiment with timeouts because there are way too many of them.
Way too many of them.
I always thought in the vein of the DH, not the DH, there was a time, I don't think they do anymore, where the Big East was a six-foul conference. So just like now in interleague ball, if the American League team plays National League City, there's no DH, mm-hmm. vice versa. Back in the heyday of the Big East, you know, Requiem for the Big East those days, while every other conference in the nation was standard five fouls, the Big East was six.
I do not remember that experiment went on
for a while. But like if St. John's or Georgetown went to North Carolina, they played five foul rule. If they went up to the Catholic seven, you know, then it was six.
House rules, basically.
Yeah.
That's
I got no problem with 6 fouls in college.
The
actually.
Way the game is called now, 2 years ago they made the initiative in the NCAA to go to a more whistle-happy form of officiating. They wanted to stop the rough form of play. They need to go to 6 fouls now, especially if you watch Big 12 basketball. It is terrible to watch. You're looking at multiple 50 free throw games when you take both teams into consideration across the Big 12. It's ridiculous.
It was funny. I was explaining to my kids who Charles Oakley was. You know, my oldest, even at 16, doesn't know who he is as a player. He's aware of the story with the Knicks and with Dolan and everything else going on there. And we're talking about this, I think, as we're watching a Warriors game, and you're watching Steph kind of slash unabated through the paint. And I was trying to explain to him, when that guy played, that never would have happened. In the days of Oakley, Mahorn, Ruland, the Beef Brothers in Washington, then in Detroit, the Bad Boys, there were no free passes through the paint.
You got clotheslined.
He would have been murdered.
Yeah.
So, such as it is. Fat Tuesday. Did you enjoy anything today? Do you celebrate Fat Tuesday?
As a Jewish male, I do not celebrate Fat Tuesday.
You could.
I could. It'd be fun.
Okay.
But I do not.
John, what about you? I know you're borderline Catholic like me, right?
No, I'm Catholic.
Are you?
I'm full blown Catholic. I'll be going to Ash Wednesday Mass tomorrow.
I will too. Yeah. Are you enjoying anything to excess today?
No, I don't think so.
Any idea what you're giving up for the Lenten season?
I'm going to give up. I'm a heavy coffee drinker.
Don't do it.
I'm gonna switch to tea, and hopefully this will. My girlfriend hates, well, now my fiance.
Thank you.
She hates my coffee breath, and she says that it stains my teeth, so I'm going to try to switch to tea.
I have done that twice where I gave up coffee, and by Palm Sunday, I was ready to kill someone. I can't do it. There's two different years in the last 4 or 5, I have made the mistake of saying, you know what, I'm going to give up coffee for Lent. Because you're supposed to give up something that you love. You know, my kids would tell you they'll switch a different snack. Well, I'm giving up pretzels for Lent next week. Oh, I've given up Doritos. I'm fine with pretzels, whatever. I've tried to give up coffee, and I was very close to taking someone out.
I mean, this is where Judaism pays off, I'm not going to lie. Yom Kippur, one day, don't eat or drink. I'm good.
Yeah, but those Seder plates are awful. Like a big old plate full of burnt food.
A Passover Seder is one of the coolest things you can ever go to. If you're talking
about the ceremony itself, perhaps, event, but the food doesn't look good.
Well, I've never actually been to one. Well, most of the ones I've gone to, gefilte fish is not a thing anyone eats really anymore. Some people, my wife loves it. I don't know how. But, you know,
you've ever seen in the jar at the supermarket? It's not a chance.
No. But my wife loves it. She will eat mine if we go to a Seder that's doing gefilte fish. But most people, if you go in the South, Houston, in the South or in Houston, it's like someone goes fishing and gets bass for the day or something like that. And that's what you eat as your fish replacement. But Passover, a Seder plate is delicious. You're missing out. You've been to the wrong Seder, apparently.
What are you gorging on for Fat Tuesday? 713-780-3776. What are you giving up for Lent? I dare you. Give up something. I don't care. Give up Pornhub, whatever. Make it something near and dear to your heart. Give up something for the next 40 days. Take steps towards making yourself a better person. This has been the Blitz on Faith on ESPN 97.5. Thank you, 409. Someone who says, I already like me 100% more than someone else that they hear on the station. So thank you for those props. And I was going to say, I worked with you last week. This is very cool. This is the second half of the Rock the Mic year. Mm-hmm. Now, you've had your own podcast for some time.
About 2 years now. We're coming up on the two-year anniversary.
Go ahead.
It's called The Sports Snack. You can get it on iTunes or Spreaker. It's good. But
does anyone still use Spreaker?
It's a much better app than, like, I didn't know it when you've told me the problems that used to exist with it. It's a much better app. And the one good thing about it is it lets me and my broadcast partner broadcast live.
It always sounded like Korean War era AM radio at the bottom of a well.
Yeah, you've always told me that, but yeah. There are no audio issues with it anymore. And we do ours across Skype, so
awesome.
Still no audio issues. But the cool thing about the second half of the Rock the Mic year is ESPN has been, or 97.5 has been very nice to give me my own podcast that I've recorded two episodes of, and we're working on getting the page up and getting going, although with Amazon's outage today, that's not making it any easier. But it's called The Sideline. You were on episode two with me last week.
And I still want to hear episode one because I know Trey the intern was your inaugural guest.
He did three of the four segments. He couldn't do segment one because he was interning.
Right.
He was doing intern things. But he came on for segments two through four, and he was great. He was awesome.
Interesting, because yeah, when you told me that first, I slightly giggled. I'm like, that dude's smarter than you think, and he's funnier than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope he tries for Rock the Mic again next year.
He told me he probably would, and I think he should. I think I told him, and I told one of the other contestants last year, the one advantage I had in it was that I've had a podcast, and I'm used to being in front of a microphone just from that. And that helps a ton when you're put on the spot on the Rock the Mic competition.
There you go. Check him out on the Sports Snack on Spreaker.
Or iTunes.
And his new podcast, soon to be up on our site, Podcast Arena, is called The Sideline with Craig Koshkin. 713-780-3776 on Twitter, Shock975, C_Kosh, Jon Snow with a zero. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
No Fred, no AJ. They're taking a lovely Tuesday off. I don't know if it's together, could be separate. In any event, Shock and Craig Koshkin with you until 5:30. Then we turn it over to Aggie Hoops. 713-780-3776. 281 texting in very randomly. Why do y'all think lacrosse is not a more popular sport? If you didn't know, 281, being from Maryland, I grew up around that sport. I would say when I was a teenager, it was only in the Mid-Atlantic and then Notre Dame. In South Bend. They were the only universities that had it. Mm-hmm. Now, University of Denver won a national championship a couple years ago. They've actually hosted the Final Four for the NCAA in Colorado. When I moved here in 04, there was barely any lacrosse other than kids that have moved here. Now, a lot of the schools in KISD, Katy Independent School District, have club teams. So they're not close to having, you know, an organized sport as far as competitive, you know, within the inner high school, whatever they call it.
UIL,
there you go. But it is a growing club sport. And if you go to any of the new Dick's Sporting Goods that opened in Houston, they all have a pretty fabulous lacrosse collection.
Yeah, the private schools actually compete in Texas. I went to summer camp with a lot of kids who went to St. John's here in Houston, St. Mark's in Dallas. All of them played lacrosse. And frankly, the reason it's not a bigger sport, it's not that it's not interesting, it is, but no one's familiar with it,
right.
And no one plays it other than on the East Coast until they get to at least like high school.
And it's expensive, first of all.
Probably like soccer is here, where soccer's a poor man's sport in every other country. Mm-hmm. Here in the United States, it is not. Trainers, just traveling on teams, it's insane.
But you can buy a $12 soccer ball and boot it around the backyard.
You could, but if you want to be good to the point where you're getting scholarships or MLS offers, the developmental clubs and all that stuff, You have to play on travel teams. It's no different than UIL basketball or anything like that.
850 says those who can't play football play soccer. If you can't play soccer, you play lacrosse. Oddly enough, when I was a kid, even though it was a big club sport, if you couldn't play baseball, if you weren't any good at baseball, and it's only a spring sport up there, you played lacrosse. So we always made fun of those kids because you know, you can't hit, you know, you can't throw. They'll put a helmet on you, let you swing a stick at someone for an hour every Saturday. But those kids got to be good, really good. And it's a game of endurance. Like I always say, hockey is underrated as an endurance sport. Those are some of the greatest athletes on the planet. Guys who play lacrosse at a very good level are maybe a notch below, but they're right there.
And I very much think of it as a hockey on grass type of sport, the way it's free-flowing.
Oh, it's brutal.
The ball moves around like the puck, and you can get checked just like it. There's just boards to be checked into.
And after growing up here playing football, it wasn't until I took a little time up there last year and I realized the lacrosse parents in the Mid-Atlantic are just like football parents here. It is loud.
I'm sure.
It is profane. And it does not end.
The silliest rule of lacrosse to me, I can't believe I'm going into this, is it's got a very pickup basketball feel that when the ball goes out of bounds, closest man to the ball is the one who gets it.
Even if you're the one who flung it out of bounds.
Even if you throw it out of bounds and you're the first one to the line, you get it. It has a very 21 feel if you played 21 at a YMCA anytime in the last 30 years.
603, hey guys, lacrosse is growing big time. Oh yeah, that's my point. When I got here in 04... it wasn't anywhere. There, like I said, like four kids in my development, and that's because they were from Michigan or PA or something, and it is growing as a club sport. He's telling me he recruited all levels of NCAA. I love it. I think Junior Seau's kid out west was recruited as a top-line college lacrosse player, if I remember right. So, you know, that's fantastic. For cost, baseball is a good comparison. Yeah, you can't play Babe Ruth League or Cal Ripken League, whatever it is, without a $300 bat. That's why my kids don't play baseball.
You're completely right. And the other thing is, if you want to get your kids into lacrosse, it's not a terrible idea because the schools that are really good at it in college are all really good educational universities, the Dukes of the world,
all the Ivy League
Johns
schools.
Hopkins, the Ivy League schools. So if they can get a scholarship, obviously not to the Ivy League, they don't do athletic scholarships, but if you can get a scholarship to one of those, they're probably going to a really good school and going to be set up in the future.
Good Lord, yes. And even a suckier school like Drexel will give you a full ride because they do make a little bit of money off it. So, and 281, I think, is thanking you for teaching him lacrosse rule, which is mighty good.
It just sticks out because it's so arbitrary to me. It's really not arbitrary, but first man to the line gets the ball. I mean, it doesn't matter who it went out on.
It is what it is, and it got more interesting maybe 15 years ago when they introduced the indoor league. And if you ever went to like a Baltimore-Philly game, there was a brawl. I mean, a full-out swinging, and not some sorry NBA fight. It was a brawl.
So it's like minor league hockey, basically.
Exactly.
So
they're trying to prove something to get to the next level.
When I was in high school, I'm from Beaumont. Shout out to the 409. Got to give credit to my people.
Nice.
I'm from Beaumont. We had a minor league hockey team. It must have been like a sixth division hockey team, but it was a minor league hockey team. And the reason people went to the games was not to watch hockey. People in Beaumont, for the most part, don't know much about hockey. But there was at least two fights every single game. And not just like, hey, let's let these two guys square off and lose the gloves. Everybody got involved.
And just looking it up here, when I was a kid, jousting was the state sport of Maryland, which is the weirdest thing. People live for Renfest up there. They live for those 2 months in the fall. Lacrosse introduced in 04. Here in Texas, you know, you would assume football, it's actually rodeo.
Yeah.
As it is in South Dakota and Wyoming as well.
Jousting actually makes sense because the Maryland state flag looks like it belongs in medieval times.
Ugh,
so
yeah. I love it.
You've got that.
It was so ugly when I was a kid. Now all of a sudden we've got this parochial pride in it. But yeah, like North Carolina, what do you think the state sport of North Carolina is?
I would guess basketball, but it's
stock car racing.
Oh, that actually makes a lot more
Something
sense.
Involving a vehicle is their state sport.
Well, considering NASCAR is based in Charlotte, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Alaska, what do you think? Probably easier than you
Ice
think.
Ice fishing?
No, dog mushing. The Iditarod is I guess, their Super Bowl because they're so disconnected from everything.
That's true.
Colorado, pack burro racing.
Sorry, I blacked out there for a second. What'd you say?
Pack burro racing. Is that like racing donkeys?
That's what it sounds like.
It is. That is exactly what it is. Because, okay, a sport indigenous to Colorado, deeply rooted in the state's mining heritage. In the early days of mining, this is Wikipedia, so it must be true, miners would take burros, which is Spanish for donkey, through the mountains of Colorado while prospecting. Because they were carrying supplies, the miners could not ride the animals, and they would walk leading the donkey. Now they race donkeys. I mean, hell, they have baby races, they have frog races.
Are you sure they just legalized marijuana in Colorado?
Because it makes complete sense. I mean, if you're going to go in, go all in.
Seriously.
Owners, Hawaii surfing and outrigger canoe paddling. So that's a team sport.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, no.
Someone texting in, if you could go back in time and experience one sporting event, what would it be?
Ooh, one sporting event?
Yeah, like a famous one. A random question. If you could go back in time in any sporting event, which would you go to? So a specific date, specific time.
Specific. I mean, my personal, because I was there, I can't do that. I would love to go see Villanova beat Georgetown in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, I live that.
I would love. I mean, I was alive for it, but I was. It happened in 88, I believe, right?
No, this was 84, 85. 84. It was Ewing's last
okay,
year,
so,
I think.
Yeah, that's right. So you're right. It was 84, 85. So I was two. So right. I didn't get any experience in that. I'd love to go see that just because I love the NCAA tournament. I love college basketball. But that one sticks out pretty hefty to me. There's a ton of – I'd love to go see the Immaculate Reception.
Just to see it?
Yeah.
Because there's never been a good – camera replay of it. It's got that weird jump edit.
Yeah, you see it.
You don't know if you're really seeing what you're seeing.
You hit it off Franco Harris, and then it cuts to Lynn. It hits off Lynn Swann, and it cuts to Franco Harris picking it up or catching it and going. So
it's amazing that, you know, in the mid-70s when that actually happened to now where there's, you know, 3 million cameras at the Super Bowl that you still, after all these years, there's no way to really clearly look back and look. I mean, if you're a Steelers guy, it happened. If you're not, it didn't, you know?
Yeah, there's one from it's the 30s or 40s, and it's a silly little thing I saw in a bloopers video when I was a kid, but I want to say it was U of H, but I might be wrong on that. Someone dove off the sideline to make a tackle to stop a touchdown in the game, and I'd love to see that because it's just silly.
I know Woody Hayes did that with Ohio State.
Well, but it's even older than that. Like, it was...
713 says, I'm from Prince George's. Count on PG in the house. Good to have you. Have you heard about this Elon Musk thing, SpaceX? He wants to send two tourists around the moon in 2018.
I did read about it very, very briefly.
Every time I hear the name Elon Musk, I think it's a Bond villain. I think it's someone who should have been like in Skyfall or View to a Kill or something like that. That's not a real human being's name. That's a supervillain.
He's a supervillain, and he does supervillain things. He makes electric cars, and he wants to go to the moon, and he does things that a Bond villain would do in a very grandiose fashion.
He takes $1 from Tesla per year. It's his salary from Tesla.
That's awesome.
How is he a supervillain?
These are futuristic things that don't exist. An electric car that can go 0 to 60 in like 2.5 seconds.
That can't be healthy. There's concussions involved and cervical sprains and things of that nature.
I'm just saying, if he was doing these things in the 70s during Connery's Bond time, he would be a supervillain, a Bond villain.
Yeah. Would you do that? If let's say they put in for a lottery or an involuntary lottery that you didn't put in for, you're just in it, you know, like Elon Musk put the entire world population in a fishbowl and drew two names and said, Craig Koshkin, next year, you're going for a long loop around the moon. Do you or don't you?
My first inclination is to say yes, but I have one question. Is he sending at least one up there to make sure everything operates, you know, functionally before I go?
Interesting you ask. Let's take a break. We'll get back to that ugly part of the story when we get back. We'll also do a sweet giveaway for Heights Crawfish. After this break, it is Shock and Craig Koshkin, The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Get a sign, just let me know. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Shock and Craig Koshkin in for Fred and A.J. taking a full day on this half-day Blitz episode. We turn it over to Texas A&M Hoops as they take on Missouri. 1 hour from now at 5:30. So plenty of time for you to crush two or three dozen donuts on this Fat Tuesday, on this the real Mardi Gras Fat Tuesday. Get it done before you give it all up tomorrow and make yourself a bigger, better, faster person.
For 40 days.
For 40 days. And then Easter or Monday after, you just obliterate everything that you just spent the last month and a half doing.
So you're not really bettering yourself. You're just
you're just giving the
illusion of bettering yourself.
It's a test of endurance. And hopefully it's something that is a gateway to you making a personal change. I've never heard that ever said in church. It's just, it's a sacrifice. That's all it is. But yeah, I've never heard anyone say, well, you know, because I gave up coffee for Lent that all of a sudden, oh, you know, I never had caffeine for another 25 years. I've never heard that story one time. So let's do a quick giveaway in honor of the Texas A&M Aggies basketball team being projected as a sixth seed in the National Invitational Tournament while they might take on number three Indiana. The sixth caller is going to get a two-pack of tickets to the Heights Crawfish Festival. It's crawfish season. Win crawfish plate tickets for two to the Heights Crawfish Festival Saturday, March 4th. That's this Saturday. Make sure that you can go 411 20th Street behind the flower shop. The parade kicks off the festival at 10:30 a.m. The festival hours are 11 till 6. Mudbug eaters look forward to this fun-filled day, and there are many activities to entertain adults and children. Buy your crawfish tickets in advance for $20 a plate. That gets you 3 pounds of crawfish, roughly what, 9 hours of work to crack them open.
I think if you do, if you're very efficient, by Sunday morning, you'll be eating.
You have no fingerprints left. You're like John Doe from Seven. You have no fingerprints left at all. Log on to heightschamber.org to buy yours today. 713-780-3776. Our intern Cody from U of H, another long line of UH interns here at 97.5, will be taking the sixth caller for those tickets.
Pretty all right.
Cool. Pretty cool.
I'm upset that I'm here today and can't win by virtue of being on the show. I love crawfish.
I was having this discussion with Dell and Raheel yesterday, actually, about crawfish, and there are certain people who love it, I guess if you grew up around it. Certain people like me who is frustrated by how much effort it is to get, you know, a couple shreds of meat out of it versus having a bushel of crabs where you got to work your ass off. You build up some biceps doing it, and there's a good bit of crab meat that comes out of it.
Is the crab meat you get really that more justified for the amount of work more you have to do to get it than crawfish is?
To me, it is.
Because that's where you're from.
No, it's got nothing to do with it. I've done both, and they're both annoying. I would rather get a bowl of crab of crawfish etouffee that I don't have to work. I'll pay the $12 for it. Same thing with, I'll get a good crab cake in Annapolis or the Inner Harbor, Baltimore. I'll pay $15 for a really good one, maybe $20 for two. But they're both annoying to have to deal with.
Fair enough. At least with crab, sometimes you get a mallet you get to beat them over the head with.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Every time I do it, I feel like, again, Kevin Spacey at the end of Seven walking into the prison, into the jail with your fingertips just wrapped up because you have no fingerprints left. You've carved every bit of them off. Man, the phones light up for crawfish tickets. It's pretty awesome. You were asking, pardon me, when we went to break about this Elon Musk SpaceX thing where they're sending two people to space, and your one wish is that you have someone along who knows what they're doing. Per this story in the New York Times, per Elon Musk, they do a long loop around the moon. It's a two-week trip. Everything on the ship is automated. Passengers would be trained for emergency situations.
I'm out.
There's not enough training on the planet. Just take someone.
I'm out.
Take someone who's not NASA. Take someone who isn't a genius.
I'm out.
You know, let's get a, you know, let's say a guy who's a, not the gas station attendants aren't educated and great people. They're not trained in the ways of aeronautics and science. That dude probably shouldn't be up there in space.
Let's start off with the fact that my portly body is not going to take the G-forces just to get out of the Earth's atmosphere.
Oh, they get you in shape.
I'm sure they would, but that's a tough order for anybody at this point in time. But no, there's no chance now. I said initially my first thought was yes. I am now at an official no.
You end up like Sandra Bullock just hurtling through space or whoever that was.
It was Sandra Bullock in Gravity.
Is it the worst feeling in the world, possibly?
I mean, wouldn't you at some point just take your helmet off and end it all instead of just continuing to drift?
It comes down to floating in space. Or being at a party at someone else's house, flushing the toilet, and the water comes up instead of down. Those are probably the two worst feelings in the world, just guessing.
Yeah. Or clogging the toilet at a party.
Well, you're the reason. You're the one who's in there. But yeah, I don't think I'm doing that. You know, there's no guarantee of safety. My wife and kids would probably not be thrilled. To me, there's too many things on this planet that I want to see. I want to go see Stonehenge. There's a lot of things in Scotland.
It's a cool thing. I've seen Stonehenge. It's awesome. You must go.
Five of Horses. Most crawfish are awful in Houston because they don't cook it right. I don't understand why Texans don't season the pot that they boil the crawfish in.
That's how it's supposed to be done. The boil is supposed to be seasoned, and that's what seasons everything. If you don't like the crawfish in Houston, you're probably not going to one of the many fantastic Vietnamese crawfish restaurants in Houston. That is just amazing.
713 offering from experience, it becomes more enjoyable. That is crawfish. The more you get skilled at peeling them. Yeah, I mean, if you become like a world-class crawfish peeler, or just like those cup stackers, you don't even think about it, then maybe.
Maybe. Again, from Beaumont, so we're about as close to Louisiana as it can get. I grew up on crawfish. I love them. I won't say world class in the peeling department, but I'm pretty good.
So, speaking of basketball,
sweet segue right there.
I heard Joel and I heard Barry talking about the Rockets loss against Indiana, 10-for-45 from 3 points. Never good as a team. Especially when you take that L. And then I see the same night, Steph Curry has the worst three-point shooting night in NBA history. It might be the only time that the names Trey Burke and Antoine Walker are mentioned in the same breath as Steph Curry. 0-for-11 from the arc.
Yeah, it's a bad night. His response as to why was so
brilliant.
I didn't hear the sound. I'm just guessing from the quote. It was clearly tongue-in-cheek.
I hope so.
If he was any bit serious, he said, quote, the weatherman said it's like a low-pressure system that was coming in, and I forgot to adjust to the thickness of the air, end quote. I mean, I read that and think it has to be tongue-in-cheek, but if there's any part of him that was serious about that, I'm done with Steph Curry and the Warriors if that's like a serious response to that.
And at first I'm thinking, well, I'm glad you quit at 11, but I'm thinking the way the Golden State hoists him up, that could have been early in the third where he just packed it. And he still had 19 points. They still got the win because it was against Philly. Mm-hmm. And outside of Dario Saric, no one else on that team, maybe Covington is worth a damn right now. So they still got that L. By contrast, Seth Curry got 5 of 7 from 3 in Dallas' win over Miami. Maybe one of the few nights that Seth can send that text, and I got you, big bro.
Well, he also ended up at Duke after a year at Liberty, and Steph went all the way through Davidson. So, you know, he can say he has the better education.
Barely. So in terms of you and I, in the little bit we've worked with, I haven't really talked a lot of Rockets. I said during the podcast that we did that to me, when you're adding Lou Williams instead of getting defense, you already know you're not going to get that defensive player who's going to make a difference. Why not add more offense? Just like the Astros last year.
Sure.
That stopper in the rotation isn't out there. We already have some good bats. They didn't really go out and get another bat. They did this offseason, but last season they didn't add any sticks to continue the bludgeoning. It looks like that is what Houston's trying to do. You add another 17, 19 points a game. It seems like where they are.
Embrace who you are. No matter what it is, whether you're a team in the NBA or just who you are as a person, just embrace who you are. And the Rockets are a team that aren't going to get a ton of stops over the course of a game and are going to try and outscore you night in, night out. So the going to get Lou Williams was the absolute perfect thing for them. Plus, one marquee defender would not have changed their team defensive philosophy at all.
Do you put them, even though they're still a few games back, do you put them ahead of San Antonio at this point?
Not yet.
Clearly not on par with Golden State. They're still way down the hall, maybe not in shouting distance right now. Close to San Antonio? Closer?
Closer, because Lou Williams, if Anderson's having an off night or Gordon's having an off night, can now come in and fill that role and fill up the stat sheet instead of either of those two players. Even if Harden's having an off night, Lou Williams is capable of coming in and filling the stat sheet in his stead as well. But they're still not as good as San Antonio. And as much as I like what D'Antoni's done this year, he's not out-coaching Pop.
I don't even know who comes down to out-coaching. This is the inability to get a stop when you really have to against a team that could really execute a world-class offensive execution.
If we're coming down the stretch in Game 7 of a playoff series between the Rockets and the Spurs, who is going to keep LaMarcus Aldridge from scoring, and who is going to keep LaMarcus Aldridge from coming up with a big play on the defensive end?
Not Clint Capela? Is that what you're saying?
Not Clint. I like Clint Capela. Not okay. Clint Capela.
So getting back to that question we had earlier, what was the one sporting event you'd go back in time to see? 504, obviously on the links, automatically goes with Francis Francais. We met winning the U.S. Open as an amateur. He is known as the father of amateur golf. That would be pretty cool, I guess.
That would be a cool one, but that's back when like
people were there.
It was a full tournament, but guys couldn't break par.
It was a big deal then.
Yeah. I mean, the equipment was significant, obviously, over the course of 90 years. You know, the equipment's going to get better. It's just not as good a time. But that would be a cool thing to see. I would pick almost any Masters as well, just to go to Augusta.
I wouldn't mind seeing those tournaments with the TV coverage that we have now.
Yep.
You know,
give me Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters at 40. That's my pick.
Let us take a quick break. It is Shock and Craig with you until 5:30. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred, no A.J. Shock and Craig with you till 5:30. Then make way for Aggie Hoops as they take on the Missouri Tigers. The road to the NIT right here on ESPN 97.5.
Are you sure you're saying that right? I've been told it's Missouri.
Yeah, I had a friend I grew up with who was from out that way. We were all jealous of him because when he was a 10, he got to drive his grandpa's truck around the farm. You know, when you're 10, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And his dad would say Missouri. Okay. All the time.
I'm not sure which one's right. All I know is I have a friend who can't go back to Missouri.
I've heard, again, outside of the area, New Orleans.
Yeah.
Nolens. There's a slight crawfish beef going on in the text, and I don't think we were trying to cause trouble for anyone, but the local folk are just saying, hey, we do things differently in Texas than they do in Louisiana.
I've never been to a friend's crawfish boil where it's actually cooked on, we're cooking it there.
Right.
Where they don't season the boil itself.
Yeah.
I've never seen it like that. And maybe restaurants season the crawfish after they come out. Maybe that's something, but it's not, I would say if that's the problem, that's actually not as normal.
No.
But,
that's the cool thing about traveling these United States is you get to see people do things in a different way. I mean, whether it's Chicago pizza, as the texter says, or New York, eight different cities claim to have the best barbecue. 713 makes note of the fact that Vietnamese restaurants make some of the best crawfish. Raheel was talking about that yesterday.
It's amazing.
In the office.
The stuff here is, if you just go down into Bel Air and find a place, it's all fantastic.
I'm fine with that.
It's all very good.
If you could go back in time and experience one sporting event, I think if there was a moment I could experience, it would be Tigers chip on 16 in 05 because of how stupid crazy it was. But then again, you also wouldn't have gotten the TV effect of the Nike swoosh. If it had been right side up, it would have been the most perfect free advertising of all time. As it was upside down, it still got the message across. For me, 1980 World Series, Philly and KC, Tug McGraw going nuts, Tim's dad, and for a city that had been starved 40 years for a championship, and the fact that I was with family when it happened, you grew up in a family of Phillies and Eagles fans who suffer and hate everybody, and they hate their own teams. That's one of the few moments in my lifetime where everyone was happy for like 5 minutes.
I mean, the one I would choose, as I'd go back, I was already there, was the 05 Rose Bowl. Vince Young, USC.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one. That is the coolest sports memory of something I've been at. That's the coolest sports memory I have. But if we're doing things we haven't been to, I think I've settled on the 86 Masters when Jack Nicklaus won as a 40-year-old. I think that to win that tournament as a 40-year-old, that's pretty impressive.
He was 46, and I'll be 46 this October, and I can't imagine.
No.
I can't imagine winning anything at this age. You know, I'm more watching my kid. I'm happy to get down the stairs without falling all the way down every now and
then. That's just because your kids are trying to take your legs out.
True that. Let's go to the phones. Miss Lisa, if you could attend any sporting event from back in the day, what would it be?
Ooh, I think sports. It would either be Ali Liston or the chariot races in the Coliseum.
Someone actually, Lisa, texted in the Lions and the Gladiators. You're not alone in that. That'd be pretty cool, I guess.
Ali Liston's a really good one.
You know what would have been interesting to be at? Would have been Holyfield Bow 2 when the fan man in the self-propelled whatever came flying into the ring and nearly got beaten to death with Zach Morris's cell phone. And if you go back and watch that film, there's a guy hammering on him with a mobile phone with an antenna that was about 5 inches long.
The Zach Morris phone.
Yeah, essentially the Zach Morris phone. And that was really when I got off boxing. I used to watch boxing a ton. My dad loved it. And it was like that fight, Tyson taking Evander's ear, all those events over the course of just a few years, like, you know what, this is worth staying up East Coast time till 1 a.m. to watch.
Yeah, the thing with boxing to me is it's just subjective. Unless there's a knockout, and I don't appreciate sports that are subjective because I don't want two people or three people in the case of boxing who are not participating in the event to decide the outcome.
Okay, so anything that's being judged.
Anything that's being judged. I don't.
So figure skating, you're out.
Well, I'd be out anyway, but gymnastics.
Competitive diving. No triple Lindy from you.
I mean, it's cool to watch because, though, please, I'd love to see the triple Lindy.
In real life, that would kick ass. That'd
be so awesome. Back to School, great movie. Everyone, it's been on one of the movie channels a lot lately. But diving's cool to watch, like to see people able to do the things they do. But the way it's scored, no.
Yeah.
I just, no.
8-3-2, got to be Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. That game was played in a small gym in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And much like Woodstock, the amount of people who claim that they were there is so much different than what was actually there. My dad always claimed to have been at that game.
When I was a kid,
he could have been. He grew up, you know, not far from there.
Oh, okay.
So it's not out of the question that he could have been there. I always say not likely. You know, show me a ticket stub, show me a program.
Yeah. Because that's the type of thing you know you're going to keep. I still have...
Even back then.
I still have my Super Bowl ticket stub when it was in Houston the last time. Not the most recent. When it was Carolina versus New England. Because that may be worth something someday.
Yeah, exactly. And that game was...
2007?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here you go. Wilt Chamberlain scores 100. Philadelphia Warriors... beat the Knicks 169-147 March 2nd, 1962. Attendance, 4,124 people.
But somehow...
It's like a high school game.
Somehow 35,000 people claimed they were there.
Oh, keep going. 250,000 to 1 million people. Go. Oh, I was there. Wilt was dominant.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Notre Dame end UCLA's huge win streak. That'd be a cool one to go to as well.
So whether it's the John Wooden team's... Notre Dame breaking it.
Yeah.
Didn't they have the wins on both ends of it? Weren't they the last?
I think that's correct. But I want to see them when they break it, not when they're the last win before it starts.
It's all John Wooden's fault. Keep Notre Dame off the schedule. Roberto Rodriguez, Tyson versus Buster. Yeah, that was in the middle of the night in Tokyo. Yeah, that's right. That's
biggest odds on favorite to or underdog to win a boxing match, I believe. I don't know if that still holds true.
Yeah, pretty sure. Hey, let's take a quick break. 713-780-3776. What sporting event do you want to go back in time and see? Give us a shout. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.